Hi, my name is Linus Lundqvist, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 936, May 2nd. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say from Miami Beach, Rumba to Sweet Home, Alabama. We got it all covered today and much, much more. Back to you, Chief.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Nasser returns from Alabama. Happy birthday to my son, Christian. VW says we will be in Formula One in 2026. Miami predicting huge success, and this week's interview is Indy Lights pole positioner, winner, driver for Indy Lights. Once again, it's Linus Lundqvist. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. Welcome back to, I almost said America.
Well, I'm back in FLA, and like you said, I did go to Alabama, Birmingham, and this was second year in a row I went to this race. Man, you have to see this track to believe it. It's an absolute fantastic, fan-friendly track, and I was talking to a gentleman who is like a volunteer there, and he said, told me a little story about the facility. He said the Mr. Barber, George Barber, whose family fortune comes from dairy farming, he said he had built a museum of motorcycles and some cars in downtown Birmingham. And then when he bought this property, he wanted to transfer the museum. And he thought, maybe a little racetrack might be a good idea. So basically, the racetrack is a byproduct of that wonderful museum, which has the largest selection of vintage motorcycles anywhere in this world. Highly, highly recommended. And sir, the beauty of this track is there are no grandstands, and they have a race-long schedule for trams to take people, fans, from one part of the track to another free of charge. And there are some beautiful vistas, man, where you can just sit there. Track is like a nice flowing track you would see in Europe, like a Brands Hatch or Road America. And it's just a very, very nice track. And heavy rain on Sunday, by the way, but then the track cleared and we had what you call ration. And Mr. Rogers, once again, just like last year, I flew into Atlanta because lots of flight from Tampa to Atlanta. And it's a two-hour drive to Barber Motorsports Park. And I got to meet our good friend and longtime listener, Mr. Christy Hardy. And when you go to the track, you travel through the Talladega National Forest. And how exciting can that be?
Super exciting.
The only problem there, I was expecting the trees in the Talladega National Park to be planted in an oval fashion, but they are like any other national forest. But very impressive. I had a very good time. How is Mr. Rogers doing on the left coast?
Mr. Rogers is doing very, very well. Of course, living in California is probably a dream for everybody in the world. Yep. The high prices, everything. It's absolutely peachy.
And you are living that dream.
I am the dream. When people have dreams, they dream of me.
Oh, very true, very true. Looks like you just polished the deep dish mirror you have.
With a high sheen.
Very good, sir. Sir, are you ready for motor racing from Miami, Florida?
I am indeed. It's going to be exciting. Of course, It's Miami. It's the Latinos and Latinos like Ferrari, because Ferrari is machismo. And I'm telling you, man, it's going to be exciting. But don't forget, the Dutch love coming to America on vacation. They love Florida. And there'll be some orange there as well. And there's going to be some red. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be absolute classic. East Coast, on the beach, Miami, South America, partying down like you've never seen so much pisco going down. I mean, it's going to be crazy, crazy, crazy to be in Miami. Muy loco. Maybe What's-His-Face will be there singing La Vida Loca.
Okay, sir. Well, we welcome the Orange Army, no problem there, and everybody else, too. So we have round five coming up in the streets of Holly's hometown, Miami, FLA. And next year, F1 will hitchhike across the USA to fabulous Las Vegas, baby. Will I see you there, Mr. Rogers?
I will be there in a fake blow-up doll kind of thing right there next to Fernando.
That's very good. That's very good. Yes, I would look forward to seeing you there. I was thinking that by the time the race is on Thanksgiving weekend, if I'm not mistaken, we would have surpassed 1,000 podcasts by that time, I think. November of next year?
November of next year, yes, indeed. We will go over the hump and be quickly arrested by Russian agents.
Here we go again. They're going to abandon Ukraine and fly all the way to Las Vegas?
Yes, we're going to be the diversion that gives NATO a chance to help everybody out.
There you go. There you go. Grand plans. I like that. Okay, sir. So far, three of the first five races on the schedule are to be on street races. Back in 1973, the Eternal Grand Prix in Monte Carlo and the Spanish Grand Prix at beautiful Montjuic Park in Barcelona. And there are more to come this season, including Baku and Singapore. Ferrari won in the streets of Melbourne and Mighty Max rode his Red Bull hee-haw all the way in Saudi Arabia. So who will be the mayor of Miami come Sunday? Hard to believe it's happening this Sunday, man. I'm very excited. Could it be Carlos Sainz Jr.? The other, if not number two, driver at Ferrari is long overdue a big bounce. I expect to see him on the podium. Beating his teammate to win the race is a tall order, especially given the momentum and hot roll Charles is, but if Carlito can bring his mojo back from last season, then we can have and see Viva España's second Grand Prix winning driver, and I'm really looking forward to it. Not only just because Carlos Sainz is a good driver, but he's been very nice to F1 Weekly entourage the few times we have interviewed him, and also his papito. Very nice gentleman. Once you have taken care of Charles Leclerc in the race, some drivers find cucumber on the road to success. Carlito may encounter a very tough Dutch nut to crack, and this nut is very stubborn and bullheaded. But nobody walks on water, so we shall see if Sainz Jr. can land on the top step of the podium on Sunday. Mr. Rogers, I heard there is an artificial marina near the Hard Rock Stadium with some real boats in it to give the place a Monaco-like feeling. Have you heard about this?
Oh, indeed. It's the talk of the town over here. And the best part is they're not even sitting in water. It's just going to be blue, some boards laid out, and they painted them blue. I think it's awesome, and it shows American ingenuity.
Oh, once upon a time, we had Mercedes in the title fight. They are talking about bringing some new upgrades to stop or reduce the humping and bumping. And even Christian Horner has come out and said the unthinkable. He expects car number 44 in Max's rearview mirror soon, and on the same lap. Nice to know at least somebody is giving LCH some respect. And a lot of eyes will be on LCH teammate Mr. George Russell to find out if he can do to Lewis or Charles Leclerc and Daniel Ricciardo did to another multiple world champion. Now, some people are already predicting that Lewis will retire before the season is over, I think once Mercedes gets on top of their issues, these people will be surprised when they will see, hopefully sometime this season, Lewis Hamilton on top step of the podium. And that's when we will invite Connie Francis to the Palatial Studios to sing Who's Sorry Now? What say you, Mr. Host?
It's a wonderful thought to an aging athlete, and I'm happy for you, Nasser. That's good. But unfortunately, the aging continues, and once again, the W13. I mean, why didn't they just call it the Titanic? My God, people don't understand nuance, luck, Mrs. Luck. Speaking of luck, boy, I don't know, but we're going to see where she comes out. There's no wins. Well, you know, there might be a win for Lewis. I mean, I could see Perez taking out Sainz, Max taking out Leclerc, Ricciardo taking out Norris. Hamilton wins.
Well, in this scenario, nobody took out Max.
Nobody did? No, Max is taken out for sure. Yeah, he takes out Leclerc. He's gone.
Okay, now moving on, we have from the Why Am I Not Surprised file a statement from Jos, the boss. And he was quoted as saying, honestly, I did enjoy seeing Max lap Hamilton after everything that happened last year. Hamilton really had a tough time, whereas his teammate George Russell seemed to be more balanced. It's not often you have the opportunity to lap a Mercedes. End quote. And, you know, Gerhard Berger has come out with his opinion. Not surprisingly, Nico Rosberg has been kicking his ex-teammate down. And through all this, LCH response is to the Hemi Hades, and I quote, working on my masterpiece. I'll be the one to decide when it's finished, end quote. And I really like that last statement. I'll be the one to decide when it's finished. But realistically, LCH and Toto will have to tiptoe through the tulips to get back to the top. And we all know where tulips come from. I am pretty sure they will in due course of time. I say this not because of 100 plus Grand Prix wins and poles, but based on his performance in the 2021 Brazilian Grand Prix, where LCH gave Max a taste of his own medicine. And that's what we want. Meaner than a junkyard dog fight. From Sao Paulo to Mugello. Would you like to see that kind of a performance from LCH again this season, sir? I hope you have not forgotten the Brazilian Grand Prix weekend, the sprint race, and the main GP.
I have not forgotten them. And that's the big contrast, is the big happenings between LCH and Max in 2021, Silverstone, blah, blah, blah. And that's not happening this year between Leclerc and Max. Completely different kind of driving. I'm not going to use any terms or anything, but no, I would like to see LCH back up at the front. I mean, it'd be great to see a fight between LCH, Max, Leclerc, Sainz. It'd be awesome. That's what we all want deep down. And I think LCH loves Miami. And I think he's already getting tired of GR finishing fourth, blah, blah, blah. So LCH is, he's getting pissed off. He's taking extra vitamins this weekend and lots of hot sauce. He's getting ready for that in-flight burrito. LCH is going to have to do something outstanding in Miami because it's America. He loves America. America loves LCH. And he's tired of Mr. GR taking all the limelight. So there you have it. That's my tip.
Well, we're only four races, and I note with interest, racing is very clean between Max and Charles Leclerc. Gee, it was not very clean when Max won his first Grand Prix a few years ago. And we will see how it goes in the second half when there are four or five races remaining, and both are within 5 to 10 points of each other, where winning a race can give you the lead back. It's going to get down and dirty. It always does. It can only stay clean as long as there's a big difference in performance. But once you are 0.1, 0.2, and in the case of Max, even if you are 0.3 ahead in quali, you know he's going to be all over with you within a few laps of the race going on, which is, of course, fantastic. And as far as GR is concerned, obviously, I have nothing against him. I think he impressed the hell out of everybody, myself included. when he blew away Lando Norris in their rookie F2 season, which was very, very impressive. And he himself said to me when we did an interview with him at COTA some years ago about that season, and he says, well, most people were expecting Lando Norris to blow him away. So he is a very good talent. But you know, once upon a time, Jenson Button went to McLaren, won two races before Lewis got one. And last I checked, since then, Lewis has won a lot of championship, and he's still in Formula One. So GR has not covered him up all season long. But we will see how things move on, especially when they sort out these issues, which they will. And of course, as always, may the best man win, whether it's GR, LCH, or FA. Who could that be?
My favorite bowler.
Machismo. Well, you know, some folks, you can't keep everybody happy. Some folks are not happy with what they are now calling. You know, some years ago we had the pink Mercedes. Now we have what they call a white Ferrari, the Haas F1 car. The arrival of, or should I say the return of K-Mag, may cost Schumacher, Mick Schumacher, a seat at Ferrari. But the name, fame, and fortune behind him will keep Mick in Formula One for a while. Another driver on slippery slope is member of the BBC Billionaire Boys Club, Nicholas Latifi. There is chatter on the web that he may be replaced soon by a man from Melbourne, Australia, Oscar Piastri, currently reserve driver at Alpine. Apparently there are some movements going on behind the scene where Alpine is willing to let him go for a season or two. Based on result in junior Formulae, Oscar is far more deserving to be in Formula One than a few already in the series right now. So if you have to say one driver who will win the Miami Grand Prix, what will you say, apart from Fernando Alonso?
Apart from Fernando El Machismo de España? Well, if anybody needs to win a race to really feel good about everything, it's Carlos Sainz Jr.
And you know, the W Series, Formula W, is also racing there, so that is good. I'm driving down, most likely Friday morning. It's a four-hour drive from here, so I'm going to drive down with my nephew. We will look for some deals on Sunday tickets and see what happens.
That'd be great. If you can get me a Formula W t-shirt or a polo shirt, something that's a little sophistication, that would be wonderful.
Do you have a choice in driver?
I prefer Perrier. So, we'll be back after this bubbly commercial.
Deep below the plains of southern France, in a mysterious process begun millions of years ago, nature herself adds life to the icy waters of a single spring, Perrier. Its natural sparkle is more delicate than any made by man, and therefore more quenching, more refreshing. And the mixer, par excellence, naturally sparkling from the center of the earth, Perrier.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. We shall start with MotoGP, and they were racing in Spain. Winner was Paco Bagnaia for Ducati, and second was your fellow Francais, defending world champion, Fabio Quartararo. And in some sad news came out today that Suzuki will pull out of MotoGP at the end of the season. So manufacturers leaving the sport is never a good thing. So I am sorry to hear that. And sir, did you watch the IndyCar race, which was round two of the series, from Barber Motorsports Park? Yes or no?
I got a few minutes in. I was a busy man, as usual, being the host of F1 Weekly. But yes, I got a little bit of that. I got a little bit of IMSA. I got a little NASCAR. You know what I'm talking about?
A little bit of Tina, too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, well, the qualifying was a Dutch treat. Pole man was Rinus Wiecke, and the winner was from Mexico, Patricio Award, who is driving for the Aero Schmidt McLaren team, so he's a Zach Brown buddy. And of course, there is a lot of chatter on the web that he and Colton Herta will land in Formula One soon. So we will see how it goes. And so the Indy Lights, the winner was from Sweden, Linus Lundqvist, and he is from Stockholm, and this is his second season in Indy Lights, so he has to make things happen. That thanks to his PR person, who was kind enough to get me an audience with Linus at a very short notice. It was like a walk-in interview type deal. So I want to thank the team PR person and Linus for his time. So shall we play this conversation for F1 Weekly Familia now, senor?
Yes, sir. Let's go, baby.
Okay, folks, we are in beautiful Sweet Home, Alabama, with a gentleman from Sweden, Linus Lundqvist. Linus, good to meet you. How are you today?
Thanks. Good to see you. Right now, it feels pretty fantastic, to be honest. Happy days. We just finished qualifying and ended on pole, so yeah, all good my end.
Sunny weather here, a little different than what you have in Sweden at this time?
Yeah, you could say that, definitely, for sure. I mean, now, when I'm over here racing in the US, I stay in Indianapolis, so I drove down just a few days ago. Tell you what, it's a big difference from Indianapolis as well, so yeah, I'll take this any day.
Yes. Okay, you are from Sweden. Do names like Bjorn Vordegard and Ronnie Peterson mean anything to you?
Yes, of course they do. A lot. You know, they're still, since motorsport in Sweden isn't that big, you know, the names that we do have are very big, especially for someone like myself. So, for sure, especially Ronnie. I mean, he was one of the guys that you idolize, or, well, he's a hero in Sweden, so, and he is for me still, so.
You know, he was my first racing hero because I started following Formula One in 73, and he was driving for Lotus, and I've been to your home racetrack, Anderstorp, also.
Oh, really?
Have you ever raced there?
I did. I've raced 2 years there, actually, and won the last year in 2016. It's a very special place.
Oh, yeah, the Cessnas and Pipers parked there. They look very cool.
Yeah, you know, and with the bank to turn one and two. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yes. Okay, this is your second year in Indy Lights after finishing third last season with 3 wins and 11 podiums. I hope the info from Wikipedia is correct, from 20 races. On a scale of 1 to 10, how will you rate 2021 season, 10 being best?
I mean, we didn't win the championship, so 0. No, but I'd say, looking in hindsight now, I'm actually pretty happy with the season that we had, so I give it a solid 7.5. You know, it was tough. I was going in as a rookie, you know, 8, I think, out of the 10 tracks that we went to were new to me, never been to an oval, new car, new team, new tires. So, you know, I think considering that, we did one hell of a job. So I think now going into my second season with the same team and the same people around me, I think we're in the hunt for a championship.
And speaking of ovals, did you see them as a big challenge? Were you afraid of them, or how long it took to feel comfortable?
I'd say it took a couple of laps to get comfortable, for sure. But very quickly, like, I enjoyed it. It was fun because it was fast. And the adrenaline that you had on your first couple of laps, it was incredible. But as always, when you get to a new place, you can only enjoy it for so much, for such a long time, because then, you know, quite quickly you just start to chase lap time. Like, where can we go faster? What can we improve on the car, etc. So quite quickly you start to think about those things instead of just sitting back and relaxing.
And what did you learn most from last season that will help you win the championship this year, hopefully?
I learned myself to win a couple of more races. I think today was a good example of something that can decide the championship. And I think looking back at last year, it was usually very tight between the top two, top three guys. And what could usually decide a weekend is who's on pole, because it's very difficult to overtake around this around any place with this car. So I think having that half a tenth on your side in qualifying, it's super important. And that's what we had today.
Okay, before crossing the pond, you won the 2018 British F3 Championship and very impressively won your very first race. Did you surprise yourself by doing that? And what were other high moments of the season? Is there an earthquake in Alabama?
Yeah, no, I think your truck just shut down. Surprised myself, yes and no, because we went into the championship trying to win it. So the expectations was obviously to win races, but to win your first one was a little bit surprising, I would say. You know, I kind of would have wished that maybe we started off with a podium and then would have won more races during the season, but yeah, we definitely started on a high.
Now, you know, over the years I've spoken to a lot of drivers, whether they're from England, Germany, Sweden, or South America. They always say that every time they left there, own country and race, continental Europe or international scene, the difference in competition level was night and day. What was your experience when you moved out of Sweden, raced in England, and now in America?
I mean, the biggest step was definitely moving outside of Sweden. I started racing in the UK and then went on to racing in Europe. And just the competition was on another level. And, like, you weren't allowed to have a bad day or a bad session because there was always somebody else that was on it. Yeah. And the same going here to the US. And what I come across here as well is, like, a lot of the kids, you know, they've raced in the US their whole life, which means that they've spent... Even though they're, you know, 18, 19 years old, they've spent 5-6 years on these circuits and different cars, and, you know, it's so natural for them. Whilst compared to someone like myself, it's still a lot of things to learn, and the culture and, you know, the different teams and just who to talk to, etc. So definitely a big learning curve every time you move to a new country and a new racing scene. But I think I've been brought into it pretty well.
Cool. What motivated the move to America, and how do you find the American racing scene and fans?
I'm living the American dream. The thing that motivated me was the scholarships that you have here. That was one big thing, because I came to a point in Europe where I didn't have a budget to progress in the ladder, and I wasn't really sure what I was going to do. And then obviously you started to look at America, and the scholarships that you guys have here is something that is, well, it's not anywhere else in the world. And then barely made it through the FR season budget wise, but managed to win that championship, and that was the scholarship that enabled me to do lights last year, and the results that year made me come back this year and hopefully win another championship.
You have raced in the Daytona 24 Hour also. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy the thrill of high banking and your favorite tracks in the US?
Yes, it was cool. Daytona is always such a special place. I've done it twice now. I did it this year as well. I remember the first time I did it in 2019. That was my first ever time in the US, and my first ever endurance race, so a lot of new things. So coming back this year was a little bit better. I know what to expect, but it's awesome. Endurance racing is just very different to what we do here. So you kind of have to adapt to it, and the car as well, obviously. But it was cool. Daytona is such a special place as well. So yeah, just an awesome venue.
Now, you know, one of the main differences between American and international racing is in Europe they have these standing starts, and here in the U.S. we have rolling starts. Did it take time for you to get used to rolling start? And I'm asking because that's how Arnaich lost the Indy 500.
Yes. And again, you know, in 2020, and when I did Formula Regional, there were standing starts. But then going to lights last year, first time ever doing rolling starts in go-kart. So another thing just to get used to. But it's not too difficult. Obviously, it sort of helps when you start up front. I think it's when you're a bit in the lower back or the lower region, it's a little bit tricky with all the checkups that can happen. But it's so far, it's been not too bad for me.
Your compadres, Marcus Ericsson and Felix Rosenquist, are racing Indy cars. Have you approached them for guidance or advice?
Yes, I have. We spent a little bit of time together, actually. We live in the same area in Indianapolis, so we spent, like, midsummer together and celebrated some Swedish holidays, which is nice. And they're good guys, you know. They give me advice, and I ask them, you know, what do you think of this? Maybe not specific, like, I'll show them one of my laps and ask them, make me go faster. But just generally good to be around.
In 2011, you climbed the Mountain of God in Tanzania. Sorry, I can't say the local name.
El Torneo Lengai, yeah.
The tallest active volcano in Africa. Tell us about this experience and how long it took to get to the top.
Yeah, that's a really good question. First question I've ever had about that. But yeah, I was 12 years old at the time, and me and my family on my dad's side, we traveled to Africa and Tanzania, or a little bit across Africa, actually. But and then we decided to climb the volcano, and it took us, say, 6 hours to climb up, and it was 4 hours to climb down. So yeah, we started in the middle of the night because it's too hot and to do it in the day. So we started in the evening and climbed through the night, and then it got back in the morning. So yeah, it was cool. It was one of those once in a lifetime experiences, and you know, everything you learned and you saw that day was pretty incredible.
any interest in going to the top of K2 and Mount Everest? Or is that too much?
I think that's a little bit too much. I'm not going to lie. You know, maybe I'll pick some of the smaller ones first. But it's nice. It's cool. It's one of those experiences where you'll never forget it.
Okay, next question. Very important. Mm-hmm. On the Indy Lights website, sushi is listed as your favorite food.
Yes.
So the question is, what happened to Swedish meatballs at IKEA?
Well, I ate it too much. That's what happened. So, yeah, no, my go-to is actually sushi. Sorry, IKEA. Yeah.
And, you know, when drivers come and race here, which we always appreciate, our standard question is, what do you prefer? Hot dogs or cheeseburgers or both, like Montoya?
I'll do a cheeseburger, not both. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
No,
very nice
thank
to meet you.
You. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Linus, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. Nasser?
Now, sir, we come to famous last words, and it's a very sad day for Studs of America. Miss Danica Patrick has revealed that she has removed her breast implants for various issues she was having, and she said on her Instagram, and I quote, "I was really fit, but I didn't have boobs, so I got them. Everything went well, and I was happy with them." End quote. Mr. Clark Rogers, if you were Aaron Rodgers, would you be happy?
I would not be happy, and he was not happy. I got several texts about the insufficient pleasure that he was supposed to get that did not arrive. And on the other hand, I have to admit, Nass, that this story was in the back of my mind. And when you mentioned the forest of Talladega, I had thought that that would be a really apropos environment for Danica to throw out her breast implants in bitter anger. And I almost mentioned it, but in the sake of good taste and trying not to be uncouth, I did not mention it, Nasser.
But see, you know, things that are posted on the web, racing-related, we just provide the information. We're not creating it.
Very, very true. So, Nass, real quickly, let's wrap it up. Your winner for Miami.
I think Max Verstappen, if I have to give one name.
Bravo. So there you have it, Nass. An outstanding job. Another great interview. I want to thank everybody who listens. We're going to talk to you later in the week with a special podcast, number 937, and that's going to have to do with family members of F1 Weekly. Good night.
Bye-bye.